feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand.
I will call upon your name,
and I will call upon your name. And keep my eyes upon the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine.
Sing, your grace abounds.
Grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed, and you won't start now.
I will call,
and I will call your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace.
For your glory, Lord.
I am
for your glory, Lord.
Yours, and you are mine. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me, and take me deeper than my feet would ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk wherever you would call me, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, for you are
evening, and what a joy to be here with you. In 1 John 5, 14, we have a great encouragement to pray there. It says, this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, he will grant us the petitions that we've asked. So I'm asking you to pray tonight while this message is going on, because the Lord will enable you to do more than one thing at once, I know. And pray for the Lord to give you a couple of names at least, and write them down whenever he gives them to you, and keep praying on this to bring next week here to this very place. You know, if each of you would bring an extra person here, just one, every week, pretty soon this place would be overflowing. And this is one of the purest ministries there is. It's not only evangelism, which is great, but evangelism is like going to the obstetrics ward at Hoag Hospital, and here's a baby, freshly born, and you take it outside, and you leave it on the sidewalk and you drive off and leave it. What do you think the chances are of that baby surviving? Not much. So we have a lot of evangelism around the world today, and it's glorious. So important. But for somebody to really to grow, to be fruitful in the Lord, you got to have more than baby shoes, right? Mm-hmm. You got to be discipled. And this is a perfect garden for discipleship. Week after week, just growing in the Lord and pouring yourself into the new believers that you would be bringing with you and watching them grow and develop. It's just such an awesome thing to watch the body of Christ work. But we need to do our part. We can't sit back and wait for the bulletin and wait for this and wait for that. And if God sends somebody here tonight, then I'll go pray with them. That's great. But bring somebody. Bring somebody. And how do you do that? You pray for the Lord to give you those names. And if they're from the Lord, just pursue it and watch Him work. So as I'm speaking tonight, I'm really not going to speak at all. I'm just going to read a few scriptures of which you all know, most of you know. We're talking about one of the greatest chapters in the Bible in a way, but I can say that pretty much about every chapter, you know. Do you know how many chapters there are in the Bible? I'll give you an easy way to remember it. The center of the Bible, probably most people agree, in most translations, is Psalm 118. 118. So if you take 118 and put a 9 behind it, you get 1,189 chapters. So that's how many chapters are in the Bible. So maybe you learned something tonight you didn't know. So if you say, well, I can't find a single chapter in the Bible that means anything to me, well, try another one of the 1,189 and see if you can. But chapter 3 in John is just a great chapter. Now, how many of you were here last week? Most of you. So we talked last week about who is God, right? And that was such great teaching. In fact, it was so great, I could have listened to it 3 times and still not gotten all of it. You know, 550,000 miles an hour through the galaxies and 67,000 miles an hour rotation of the earth. I was dizzy and I hadn't even got out of the room yet, you know. But it was great teaching, just great teaching. Well, you're not going to get all that tonight. You're going to get about 3 things tonight is all you're going to get. But I hope that you will remember them. But last week we said what? God is the creator, right? And then we said, God is the Word. And then we said, God is the Lamb. We didn't get God is the Lion yet, but we'll get there eventually. But God is the Lamb. And then we said, God is glorified, or by this, God is glorified. He is a glorifier, and He is the glorified one. So that's who is God. Well, tonight the message is, or the subject is, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? I know you probably all know that. Some people have just said, well, it's the good news. Somebody's coming after somebody. Let's just pray for them. Father, I don't know who's called 911, but they're 911, whatever it is. But somebody's in need, Lord, so we just pray for that right now. And may they turn to You in their hour of desperation, Lord, whatever that means. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God through salvation. It's the power of God for salvation, the power of God in salvation. It is the power of God that brings people to the Lord, the gospel, the gospel. It's really summarized here in 25 words, in the New King James at any rate, the words, 25, in John 3:16, probably better known verse than maybe almost any verse in the Bible. 12 words, and then in the center, boom, is the Son. And then another 12 words, and you have really 25 words that really pretty well describe the gospel message. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, right? That whoever, what, believes, or whoever has faith, same word in the New Testament, faith, believe, same word, whoever believes or whoever has faith should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, what is meant when it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son? What does that mean? Why, yeah, God loves me, but, you know, why did He have to give His Son? What is that all about? Well, we got to go back to the beginning of the Bible. We got to go back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1:1, of course, is the beginning, it says, of creation. It says, in the beginning, God. And that's Elohim there, that's plural. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And he starts creation, and he gets on down to the sixth day, and it says, and God said, let us, Elohim, make man in our own image. Just think about that for a minute. You are made in the image of God. Each one of you. Each of the 7 billion people now living on the face of the earth, plus however many it is, I don't know. They're all created in the image of God. The only creature that is. Is God eternal? Are you eternal? Well, I looked in the mirror this morning. I don't think I'm very eternal. Man, my, you know, shaving these days is like a trip through the Grand Canyon with all the wrinkles, you know. But yes, we have an eternal part of it, but it's not this body. I think it was created to be an eternal body, but something happened in Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 2, God put Adam in the Garden of Eden and gave him everything. And he said, all of this is yours. You can have it all except there's one tree in the middle of that garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do not eat of that fruit. In the day you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die. Then God told Adam it wasn't good that he should be alone, and he created Eve, and he put Eve alongside of Adam. And you probably know the story of the fall of man, but she was tempted by Satan using the same things he always tempts you and I about. It looks good, probably smells good, probably tastes good. And then he gave Eve, it was a total lie, but it sounded good. If you eat this, you will be like God. And the Bible seems to say that Eve's sin wasn't nearly as serious as Adam's because Eve was deceived. And she ate, and then she gave some to Adam, and he ate. He was not deceived. He willingly ate. So now sin enters the world, and what? Death through sin. Before the fall, before Adam and Eve sinned, they were like God. Satan gave him that big lie. He says, if you eat this, you will be like God. That was the biggest lie maybe of all times, because they were like God. And when they ate that, they became like Satan. They turned from God's obedient to God. They turned to Satan. I'm sure they thought they could turn right back to God, but it was a double action. They turned from God to Satan, and there's no way back. So now you got death in the world. You're born of Adam. Did you know that? How do I know that? Because you're going to die. Everyone is going to take their last breath in these bodies because of Adam. And the blood factor comes through the male. That's why Jesus was born of a virgin. Did you know that? Jesus could not be born of Adam because his blood would have been contaminated like your blood and my blood, in a sense. But he had the blood of the Holy Spirit as his Father. His blood is incorruptible. And so God now, who cannot sin, and God can't commune with sin. So in a sense, God created you and me to be with him, but now we can't be with him because we're separated by sin. Death entered the world, and death through sin. So then we see that God, the plan before the foundation of the world, was that he would give his only son as a sacrifice. Because your sin and my sin has a death penalty, and your sin and my sin, that penalty must be paid. God won't look the other way. He won't say, well, Justin's a nice guy, I won't hold his sin against him, or Phil's a nice guy. No, the penalty of sin is death, and it's got to be paid. So who paid it? Jesus Christ paid it with his incorruptible blood, dying on the cross. For every sin you have ever committed or ever sin you will ever commit. There's something about eternity that's now. We're not in the time continuum. When you take your last breath, you'll move into eternity. I think you'll see Abraham. He won't say, where have you been for 4,000 years? It'll be now. God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? I am the God of the living, not the God of the dead. I am, and I don't understand it, so don't ask me how there's now in eternity, but that's what it is. And in the same sense, that's why I think Jesus' blood is scrubbing me and cleansing me every day, because I sin every day. I know I'm saved. There's not a doubt in my mind that when I take my last breath, I'm going to be in his presence, because not of anything I've done. I'm a rotten sinner, but he saved me by his grace, and I believe with all my heart what he has done for me. And because of that, I know I'm going to be with him. Amen. And I can hardly wait. Yeah. Maybe he'll take me before this message is over. And you say, well, if you don't hurry up, he'll already take you. But
we're praying.
All right. So God sent his only son to pay the price that you would not have to die and I would not have to die. That's the good news of the gospel. Now, Jesus also gives us more detail. In the first 8 verses of John chapter 3, there is this Pharisee named Nicodemus. You know, Nick at night, you don't watch that, do you? But Nicodemus came at night, and I believe it was busy during that time of the year. I think the Passover was going on, and there would have been 2 or 3 million people in Jerusalem, and there wouldn't have been any time. Anyway, Nick came at night, and he says, good master, what must I do to be saved, in a sense? And Jesus said what? You must be born again. Born again? And Nicodemus said, what? What do you mean? I get back in my mother's womb and go through the birth canal again? And Jesus said, oh, Nick, if you can't understand the earthly things, how are you ever going to understand the spiritual things, right? Born again. Why do we need to be born again? Because through sin, we died spiritually. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned, they didn't die physically right away. They lived another, I don't know how many, they lived 900 years about total, but I don't know when the sinning occurred, but it was fairly early. But spiritually, in a sense, they died. And so when you're born today of Adam, which you all are, David says, in sin I was conceived in my mother's womb, we're all born dead. And I'm not saying physically you're alive, but spiritually you're dead. So when Jesus says you've got to be born again, that means spiritually. You've got to be born of the flesh. We're all born of the flesh. That's no real criterion there, because we wouldn't be here if we weren't. But we're not born of the Spirit unless we agree to be born of the Spirit. Because this great gift that God has given us in his only Son, there's a role that we have in that particular gift. And that is, we've got to receive it, right? If we don't receive the gift, it doesn't do anything for us. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses all men from all sin forever. Full atonement of Christ. There's no shortage of coverage. However, it only applies to those who believe. It only applies to those who are born again. So Jesus said, you must be born again. Now, it's been said that if you're born twice, one physically, one spiritually, you'll only die once. What does that mean? Well, we know as a believer in Christ, when we take our last breath, we are immediately in the presence of the Lord. We don't die spiritually. So I'm born physically, one. I'm born spiritually twice. So I've been born twice. I'll die once in this body, and that's all. I'm with the Lord. However, if I do not believe, if I'm born only once physically and not twice, second time spiritually, I'm going to die twice. As an unbeliever, I would die in this body like all believers would die in the body. But then we read in Revelation chapter 20 at the great white throne judgment, there will be the spiritual death. And we're talking about eternity here, folks. Heaven and hell, we'll put it hell, it's really Gehenna, outer darkness, but heaven and hell are eternal. I don't know what eternal means to you. To me, I can't figure it out. It's so long, I can't even figure it out. But they both are eternal. And God loves us so much, he lets us choose where we want to be. He wants those to be with him who love him. And if I love him and tell him I love him and surrender my life to him, surrendering my life to him is being born again as Savior and as Lord and giving my life to him, then I have the assurance of being with him forever. Now, we get an upgrade. The software remains the same, but the hardware gets upgraded. We get a resurrected body that can be in his presence forever. No more cancer, no more pain, no more eye failure, no more any of those things. I don't know how it's going to work, but it's going to be perfect. And we're going to look back on this day, and you will have friends today, oh, I hope I don't die. Oh, I don't want to die. And I say, well, do you know the Lord? Oh, yeah, I know the Lord. And you don't want to die? What's wrong with you, right? Yeah, but I'm needed here. Oh, I'm so important here. You know, I've got a grandchild, or I've got a whatever I've got here. Well, the Lord's going to take you home right on time. And it doesn't matter. These other things matter all that much if you're solidly with him. And if you're not with him, it doesn't matter either the other side, whether you live 30 years or 130 years, you're going to be apart from him forever because you choose that. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. Now, outer darkness or Gehenna, the lake of fire, is the place that God prepared for Satan and those who follow him. And you can follow only two gods, really. That's the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is one. The other is Satan. So if you want to be with Satan, you can be with Satan. Now, God's going to hound you to the last point, but he will not violate our will. He'll do everything short of violating your self-will to have you with him in heaven, but he will not force you to be with him in heaven. And I know I'm talking to the choir here, but there may be some people who are not real clear on some of these issues, and it never hurts to review them because you'll run into people who really don't know much about the Bible at all. I've heard it said, if you could just explain John 3:16, you would know more than 98% of the world. And so people say, well, I need more schooling. I've got to get, 14 degrees, and I got to, know Hebrew and Greek and everything else. Well, yeah, that might be helpful, but do you know John 3:16? Do you know what it means? Can you tell somebody what it means? Then you know the gospel, right? Okay, so we've talked about born again. We've talked about if you are born twice, you die once. And if you're born only once, you'll die twice. We've talked about eternal life a little bit. Eternity is forever. You're created in the image of God, so you have an eternal soul. And you'll have eventually a resurrected eternal body as well. And we get to choose where we want to be, either with the Lord or apart from the Lord. And it's not just that, heaven is first class and hell is economy or coach. No. It's one is way above first class and the other is crash time, right? Not just crashing, but you won't die. You live eternally in hell, in torment. So the worst, hideous people in the world, pray for them that they would have the fear of God in their eyes, because being apart from God is something so hideous, I can't even comprehend it. I was just in Haiti a week ago. We went through the book of Revelation, and it comes so clear then as we see the white throne judgment, as we see God's love, and as we see the church is out of here, and we're hidden in Christ, and God's judgment is coming. Jesus is coming back. If you want to bet on one thing more than anything in the whole universe, it's that Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back to do away with sin, to do away with wickedness, to do away with what's wrong. And he's postponing it. He's postponing it. He doesn't want to do it on one hand. On the other hand, he wants to do it because he wants it clean and pure. The new heaven and the new Jerusalem will be clean and pure. It won't have any contamination in it. And we got to go through this terrible purging in the Great Tribulation before that occurs, right? So, are you born again? Do you know what the gospel is? Can you tell somebody what the gospel is? Or you got any names yet to bring next week? I'm going to keep talking until you all know. But pray for that. And God will honor that because he wants them saved more than you do. And this is the place where they're fed. Yeah, you can go to Harvest America. I'm all for that. Bring people there too. But this, in my opinion, is best you'll get on a continuing basis. Harvest America is one day. What, an hour or two maybe? And it's great. I don't mean to put it down at all. I'm not at all. I'm trying to let you know my opinion is this group is an infinitely better discipling platform than any evangelistic outreach that you can have, right? So you're in it. You're here because you want to be here. You're group leaders and whatever you, and maybe new believers here. Praise the Lord. And keep coming and keep learning. And this is God speaking to you. This is the way he will speak to you. You want to hear the word of God? Open this up every day and pray to him. He wants that relationship, and he's given us the miraculous power of prayer, right? And then sing. You don't have to have a worship leader. He loves to hear you sing. Scripture says in Psalms, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, right? Thank him. Have song in your life. You should be filled with joy because of what he's done for you. Yeah, there's evil all around us. There's trouble all around us. Praise God. That means people will get fed up and they'll turn to the Lord. The people are coming to the Lord around the world today where times are really bad. In the Middle East, the greatest area now, where ISIS and all that stuff's going on, it's terrible. And we don't like that, but the people are coming to the Lord. They're desperate. You've all heard of foxhole conversions. Nobody likes war, but man, there's a lot of guys that come to the Lord during wartime, right, when the bullets are whizzing around. And so things are getting worse, and we say, oh, praise God, he's going to be working more, right? So let's close in prayer. I hope I haven't overloaded you. And we get to these small groups, kick some of these things around a little bit, make sure everybody understands these concepts. And we all maybe do, maybe we don't, I don't know. But this is just a good arena to get clarity on that and to ask for prayer and for help where needed. And then give him praise and give him glory, all for him, right? Well, Father, we thank you for tonight. It's just such a joy to be with your people. And Lord, I'd like to go all night long, but Lord, we've got other things here now. We pray for these small groups that they would be just very fruitful, Lord. And Lord, this would be just an army just released in Southern California here that would be have no limit to it, Lord. So bless and guide, Lord, and may your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.